Second meeting of the House Committee on Crime Victims and Criminal Records Division is hereby convened. We do have two bills on the agenda today, members. Chair notes the quorum is present. However, prior to that, let's do the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes? Minutes have been moved by, Dave Olin? Representative Olin has moved the minutes. Is there any question, any discussion on the minutes? Observation, correction? If that's not the case, then the motion to approve the minutes has been made. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Minutes are approved. Second item of business, members, is the question from individuals about potential meeting time other than Friday at 8:30 a.m.
Aye.
Aye.
You have to fly. Aye. And I did have the Able Committee Legislative Assistant Aaron Hooper check into some time. There is the availability for generally for most members Thursdays from 4:30 to 6. However, we have had a switch on committee. Representative Bigham is now not on the committee, and Representative Tamar is. We haven't checked with him yet, so we will get back to you on our next meeting time to let you know, or via email to let you know if that still works for everyone. So with that, Representative Doherty, are you prepared to proceed on House File 139? And can I have a motion from a committee member to move the bill?
Move.
Okay, the bill has been moved by Representative Olin. Representative
Dilley,
please proceed.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And members, thanks for being up on Friday morning. If you could only instill Chairman Cohen with the same wisdom that you are exhibiting here, looking for alternate times, I would appreciate that help. House File 139 is a bill that I'm proud to carry. Obviously, it's also the right length of a bill that I like to carry. I don't think we're going to need a lot of explanation. We have over 37,000 women and children that are served by community advocacy programs and over 2,600 domestic assault cases a year in Minnesota. Over 12,000 orders for protection. The problem is serious. There's no doubt about that. And at the same time, we have decreases in funding instead of increases for victim services and transitional programs. This combination makes this this issue of primary importance right now. Primary intervention, which means trying to stop things from happening in the first place, is the cheapest and most effective of the three stages that we can do to work on this. In a year when we're not going to be spending much money, increasing awareness is something that may prevent us from ruining a lot of lives and spending a lot of money, and that's two good things. I would like to bring down, if she was ready to come down here, Cindy Cook, who knows a lot more about details about this issue, for a few more words of explanation, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Representative Doty. And just to actually correct the record from previously, the motion made by Representative Olin was for the bill to be passed and be referred to Chair Hillstrom's Committee on Public Safety, just to be clear. Thank you, Representative Doty. And Ms. Cook, would you please state your name for the record?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Cindy Cook. I'm Executive Director of the Minnesota Coalition for Battered Women. Excuse my voice. I have a little bit of a post-cold thing going on here. The Minnesota Coalition for Battered Women is an association which represents more than 90 programs across the state. Direct service providers, including shelters, community advocacy programs, criminal justice intervention projects, training and technical assistance programs. And we're very pleased to be able to support the bill introduced by Representative Doty today. And actually, I thought that Representative Doty was quite articulate in his in the way that he addressed the issues today. Domestic Violence Awareness Month has been recognized by the federal government as being October, and we have enjoyed bipartisan government support for October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month for many years. Having a month that highlights this issue has given us an opportunity to increase public awareness, to support events across the state. Most recently, we held an event on the state capitol steps, which highlighted 20 years of our clothesline project, which is a memorial to the women and children who have been murdered as a result of domestic violence. Also, this last October, we hosted a teen domestic violence awareness contest. We asked teens to talk about what a healthy relationship looked like for them. And so as Representative Doty talked about prevention being the most important way of preventing this violence before it starts, the teens had a wonderful analysis of what a healthy relationship would look like. And I think that the opportunity to participate in that kind of a statewide event, to be able to learn about the issues and express their personal feelings, will carry them into adulthood, into more healthy relationships. So having said that, we express our enthusiastic support for this bill today.
Thank you, Ms. Cook. Are there any questions for the testifier? Representative Gold.
Mr. Chair, only because Representative Olin suggests I wouldn't be able to come up with a question on this bill. This is a question for the author. It sounds like we haven't had a problem getting the governor to proclaim October as Domestic Violence Prevention Month. So why do we need to put this into the statute books that are already too burdened with too many things that aren't doing direct programming for some of these really important issues that you and your witness have raised?
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles, I agree. There's a lot of stuff in those books that could probably go make it a lot easier to carry them around, for one thing. My suggestion would be, instead of worrying about adding something this important, that we maybe take a few other things out that would have less impact.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Doty, I'm going to support your bill, but I'm just not sure that this is going to have much impact on the very real issues that you care about very much, and I do too. So, I'm going to support your bill. I had to ask a question, though, because Representative Olin suggested I might be able to come up with something to be critical of your bill on. So I'm going to support your bill. Don't worry about it. Let's not, as a legislature, let's not think that this is, hopefully we'll do something to get some more awareness of the issue, and that's important in and of itself, but we have to be getting at the actual problem, and I'm not sure that this is going to get us as far as we should go. I think you would probably agree with that, and clearly with the budget issues and challenges we have, it's going to be difficult to do much more than this year, but I had to give you a little bit of a hard time, Representative
Doty. On Ms. Cook?
Mr. Chair, if I might respond.
Go ahead, Ms. Cook.
I actually think that codifying this kind of an event in statute sends a really important message to the citizens of Minnesota. So although I agree with you that there's a lot more that needs to be done, and certainly in terms of funding and strengthening laws and enforcing those laws, this does send a message, and it offers an opportunity to publicize the issue throughout the state. So we appreciate that.
Representative Schumansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Cook, this is probably not directly to the bill, but from my own information, and I appreciate you bringing the teenage girls in and talking to them about preventing abuse against women and so forth. Were any of the members of your group able to share with them circumstances or what went wrong in their life that caused them to be abuse victim?
Ms. Cook?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, is the question, did the teenage girls share?
No, the members of the, of the group, how should I say, the women who had been in an abusive relationship, were they able to share with the teenagers, the circumstances, were they able to tell their story, if you will?
Ms. Cook?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Actually, many of the teens had already been involved in dating violence relationships, so many of them had firsthand either friends or themselves firsthand experience with violence as young as 13, because kids are involved in dating relationships younger and younger these days. Many of the teens who participated in the essay contest grew up in homes with domestic violence and had that experience to share. Most of them were involved in some kind of a teen organizing or community education program in their local community, so that they had a close connection with a domestic violence program in their community that offers education in the schools, speakers in the schools, an opportunity to really hear firsthand from people in their community, and then to to take some of that and actually put it into action. So I think you've heard in the past from a group called TADA, which is Teens Against Dating Abuse. They operate out of Malacca, and that's both boys and girls who have really taken it on as their cause to create change in their community. So they're working with the school board, they're working on different kinds of policies that will help promote healthy relationships in their school.
Thank you, Ms. Cook. Did you have a follow-up? Okay. It's come to my attention there are some other testifiers to the bill, if you would come forward. As you come forward, though, I do have one question for Representative Doty or Ms. Cook. Are you aware of any other organizations that have October or any weeks within October as their awareness month or education awareness type of campaign month? I know, for example, February is Black History Month, and so is there anything that domestic violence awareness would compete with on this front in October or for any week in October?
Mr. Chair, yes, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month also, but we've shared that as an awareness month for many years.
Thank you. And that's the only one you can think of, Ms. Cook?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other testifiers, come forward.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Johnny Bartel. I am an advocate when I work with women who are in domestic violence relationships who are trying to leave, and it will take a woman 8 times before she will finally make it out of the situation, because if she does make it out, she is at a 75% greater risk of being murdered. So she stays in the relationship, as it may seem silly, but to stay safe and alive. But I have a little thing that I've prepared. It shouldn't take very long.
Go ahead, Ms. Bretto.
Okay, it says, I am here today as the voice of many. I am here to tell you that an epidemic is amongst us, a silent epidemic, an ignored epidemic, and the name of the epidemic is domestic violence. Awareness of domestic abuse has risen thanks to the tragedy case of Stacey Peterson, the young pregnant Marine that was recently murdered. Lisa Peterson and other cases that have made the attention national news. I am not here to raise awareness for them. I am here for the next door neighbor who is always being berated by her significant other, the teenage girl that has bruises from a boyfriend, the 3.3 million children who witnessed their parents being yelled at, degraded, and physically assaulted. I am here about the person sitting in this room with you. October is National Domestic Violence Month. So for very little is done to make America aware of the fact, I would like to see Minnesota as a state declare October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month and see more ads in the media if possible. I could sit here and give statistics regarding domestic abuse, but I don't think we have enough time. I will say that through domestic violence takes more women's lives than cancer, mugging, rapes, and auto accidents combined. Millions of dollars are lost by employers because of the absentee and low production. Billions of dollars are spent on medical for the victims, yet domestic violence remains violent, a deadly killer. No one wants to get involved. We look the other way, we pretend we don't hear the arguments, name-calling, constant berating, and the physical abuse. It is easier to turn up the volume on the television or radio than to pick up the phone and call 911. It is easier for us to stand in a crowd of onlookers and watch a neighbor being taken away in an ambulance or a coroner's car. It is easier for us to see the children taken away by child protection because one parent may be dead and the other is going to jail. Unfortunately, many children become victims of domestic abuse and they end up dead. These victims, women and men, need a voice, need to be heard, need to be helped. We need to make people aware of the silent killer. Education is needed to stop the cycle of abuse. Teenage boys need to learn that it's not okay to slap their girlfriends around. They need to learn that it's not okay to call names, isolate them, demean them, and things. Teenage girls need to learn they are not a possession. They do not deserve the abuse, verbal, mental, emotional, and or physical. Granted, this will cost money, but it is far less than what the businesses lose in absentee and productivity. It'll be far less than the cost of medical treatment for the victim. It'll be far less than the cost of funerals for men, women, and children that pay the ultimate price at the hand of their abusers. I am asking this committee to seriously consider moving this bill along. I am asking this committee to save lives. I am asking this committee to take steps to end the abuse and violence. As for the person in this room that has endured domestic violence and survived, that person would be me.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Barthel. Are there any questions for the testifier? Representative Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to thank the presenter for her very compelling testimony and to Representative Doty for his efforts to draw attention to this problem. Do you know, or are you aware, if any of our school districts are incorporating domestic violence awareness and perhaps some information to our students, and particularly young women, in health classes or other appropriate areas of curriculum in our public schools?
Right now, I know that Morrison County is sometimes invited into the school to talk to the older juniors and seniors, and when that happens, they see more an increase in their crisis line calls, because the girls don't realize that they're not supposed to be slapped around, and there are some friends who are males who will even call and say, well, I've seen so-and-so slap his girlfriend. What am I can do to help her realize that this isn't right, you know? So we counsel them and tell them where to go and what to do. So they do get once a year. And it's only for the older, I believe, that it should start, like in the sixth and seventh grade.
Mr. Chair and Representative Loon, the schools that you're referring to include one that I taught in many years ago. And I know that what she says is very effective, that the calls and the awareness does increase. And that's the very reason behind this legislation, is hopefully more people would become aware. Hopefully it'll be a month, if very shortly after school starts every year, when that becomes an important part of the curriculum. Hopefully it'll spread awareness everywhere, including the schools.
There are no other questions, and the chair sees no other testifiers. Representative Olin renews his motion that House File 139 be recommended to pass and re-refer to Chair Hillstrom's Committee on Public Safety Policy and Oversight. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Bill passes. Thank you very much, Representative Doty, and thank you to the testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Thiessen, are you ready to proceed? Do you have Representative Thiessen, you're prepared to proceed?
My witness, Mr. Chair, who's blind, is taking the bus here. He should be here in a minute or two. But we can probably go ahead and proceed, and then when he makes it, we can...
That's fine.
It's up to you.
Why don't you go ahead and proceed, and we'll take the motion for the bill after that. So go ahead and proceed with your testimony, Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. Well, I'll try to stretch it out as long as I can. The bill is, and Mr. Shattuck, when he gets here, can explain this if he makes it in time. He is a blind individual, and really where the bill is coming from is a concern that when crime alerts go out from law enforcement agencies to citizens informing them that a crime has occurred in their neighborhood, he can't access those alerts because of the format that they come from. The city, in this case, the city of Richfield. And so what he's really interested in is making sure that when those alerts go out, that they're in a form that's accessible for someone who's blind, which I think actually is probably required by federal law. But he's been struggling with the city of Richfield's been struggling with this issue for quite a while. And so I'd actually suggest, Mr. Chair, that the way that this language is drafted may be somewhat overbroad. I don't think the need is necessarily to force everybody to issue these crime alerts if they are not already doing it. The real goal would be to say if they're issuing crime alerts, if they are issuing crime alerts, this should be in a format that's readable by someone who's blind. And so I don't know how the committee wants to proceed with that. That's the direction I'd like to take the bill. I'm happy to come back with an amended version at some later time, or if you want to just consider this going forward, it's up to you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gold. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Thiessen, I appreciate your interest in narrowing the bill. I had some concerns about it as it's drafted. I guess, though, just reacting to what I just heard you say, I would be concerned, I guess, if we are putting a new mandate onto cities and not providing any way for them to pay for it, if cities that are currently doing crime alerts may elect not to do them if they have to, increase, if the costs are going to increase for doing it. I mean, they may say, you know, we're just not going to do this, and then don't we have a whole group of people who are getting information now that might be useful to them, not getting it. I understand and I'm sympathetic to the issue that or the reason for the bill, but I don't want to make make the situation worse either.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Cole. I think that I think you raise a legitimate concern. On the other hand, this is actually, I think if you convert the document into a PDF file, which I think probably all of us can do relatively inexpensively, they can be read by a blind person's reader. And so the fact is the technology is not particularly expensive.
Just for the record, Mr. Chair, I can't convert something to a PDF. I trust that law enforcement officers I can, but I'm kind of a Luddite, Mr. Chair. Why don't we do this? Representative Thiessen, I think it is important to hear from your testifier who, do you know for a certain time when he will be here?
He said he'd be here a little bit after 9 o'clock.
Okay. Well, we're going to do this. We're going to recess until 10 minutes after 9. Just to ensure that we can hear your testifier. I know you did indicate earlier that it would be a little bit late. You arrived early, so I decided to start early, but
I got the kids to school a little early today just to make it.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative Thiessen and members. We will be in recess until 10 minutes after 9.
Thank you.
Crime Victims and Criminal Records Division will reconvene now. Representative Thiessen, are you prepared to proceed?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Thiessen and members, we have had some conversations over the break, potentially modifying some of the language. We can have those discussions at a certain point, though, for now. Representative Kath, would you move House File 254 in that it be recommended to pass and be re-referred to Chair Hillstrom's Committee on Public Safety Policy and Oversight?
So moved.
Is those the new representation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd just like to introduce Clarence Shattuck, who can explain more about the reasons and the need for the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Shattuck, would you please introduce yourself and state your name?
Yes,
right in front of you.
Hi, my name is Clarence Shattuck, and I'm a resident of Richfield, Minnesota. And the reason I brought forward the idea of the bill to Representative Thiessen was because of concerns I had in our community. And Richfield is a relatively good community, a relatively safe community, and yet there is an increase in crime. I think that affects any area of our metropolitan area. And with that, any of us with a disability need to be informed when these incidents happen. And the best way for us to be informed is to receive, through a crime alert, a format as in a Word document, which is easy to read and very, very simple to put out as in the body text or the email message. And the PDF as an attachment that would be for anybody who wants to read the PDF, you know, above and beyond what the Word document might state, if they want to go into a little more graphic, if there's graphics on the PDF. The difficulty I and some individuals have with PDF are that not all screen readers can read PDF. And so if a PDF is sent out as the only formatted document of a crime alert, then it singles us out as people who cannot read, and therefore we're not informed. And as, like say, an alternative to that would be then simply a Word document and the body text of the email with a PDF attachment. It's a simplified and solvable way of providing essential and critical information so people can remain safe in their community.
So, Mr. Chair, I was actually totally mistaken. And in fact, it's the Word document that's important. I think even maybe Representative Paul can do that.
I can do that one.
A question for Mr. Shattuck, just so I'm clear. Is it your suggestion, Mr. Shattuck, that we codify into law the requirement that law enforcement agencies use Microsoft Word?
If it comes to that, because when I started this process 2 years ago, I had no idea that it was going to be an almost argumentative situation with my local law enforcement agency. The response I got was that, they'd be willing to send me a Word document. However, the general public requests PDF, and therefore, this document will go in PDF, and then I can get a Word document as an attachment. So it's really setting me up as a second-class citizen. It's setting me up to get things secondarily, which I am part of the general public. And my request to modify a PDF into a Word document, which incidentally, PDFs are Word documents initially. The document is converted into a PDF because of any kind of graphic or code that might be appealing to people. But to have done so, for those of us who are blind, obviously we can't see the graphics, and some screen readers cannot pick up the graphics unless, of course, a PDF is coded for screen reader use. And that takes some work within the website design to make sure that the PDF is coded for screen reader use. And not all screen readers, not all of us who use screen readers, are going to have that capability if they have, let's say, an older version of the particular kind of screen reader I have, which is Job Access with Speech, or more commonly known as Jobs. I have an older version, and it reads well, but unfortunately PDFs are one thing it doesn't read. And so my recommendation to our local law enforcement agency is, please just send me the Word document, and it will end up taking a long time just to get that. And so arguing back and forth before I was finally given that as an option. So to require that in any law enforcement agency, I believe, is going to help assure that anybody with a disability, or especially anybody who uses a screen reader, will have access to this information and not have to go through what I had to go through.
Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Thiessen, Mr. Shattuck, do you know if we've got similar problems elsewhere in the state, or how wide-reaching is this concern, or is it kind of targeted on Ridgefield?
Representative Thiessen or Mr. Shattuck?
Well, I don't know if anybody else across the state has brought this issue. Ridgefield, unfortunately, like many communities, is affected by gang activity. And a crime alert is not going to specifically point out gang activity, but these are basically generic documents which will alert if there is some kind of criminal activity in your community. And the crime alerts do not come out with any regular frequency. For example, there's a neighbor about five houses down from us. They were at home at the time when there was a burglary on their presence at their home, while they were home. A fourth century burglary. Within five blocks of where I live, there was another burglary, theft of at least five guns. And I or other neighbors were not notified of this until 2 weeks after the fact. Now, I expect that certainly something as delicate as that cannot be sent out in fine detail. But to find out about that 2 weeks after the fact, there's a quicker way. There has to be a quicker way of getting critical information out that will at least give some of us a chance to be informed to know if there is something dangerous going on in our community. And as far as the press of the state, other parts of the state of Minnesota, incidents like this happening, I don't know if anybody else has stepped forward, but crime is a problem. We have a downturn in our economy. It's going to be more of a problem. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. if people are having this kind of problem already and the information has not gotten out as often as it needs to, these kind of crime alerts could even be cut because there's no requirement that any law enforcement agency has to put them out in the first place.
Representative Cole. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Thiessen, I think that your witness has identified an important issue, and I think it's one that we absolutely should take a close look at. I think that, as you mentioned at the beginning, we may need to do some tightening up of the bill to make sure that we're not going beyond what we should be going. And so, I'm willing to be supportive in getting the bill out of here today, but I think we probably need to do a little work to make sure that we're make sure we have something that's workable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, to answer your earlier question, I don't know if we know of any other person I haven't heard from any other person who's fined that has had this issue, although I imagine that it probably is, there probably are other instances out there. But we do, I think, have some proposed language to narrow down the scope of the bill. And unless there's other questions, maybe it's just...
We do have one other question, Representative Thiessen. Representative Kass, why don't you shoot, and we will raise the modified language.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for Mr. Shattuck. Our newer software, so newer screen reader software, are those capable of reading PDF?
Yes, they are. Assuming that the person has an upgraded version of a more recent screen reader, like Jaws or any other. I'm in a kind of a bind of a situation. The state of Minnesota owns my copy of Jaws, and I requested an upgrade for well over 2, 3, 4 years, and I've been routinely turned down for one reason or another, and it has just put me in a really difficult situation on a number of issues, including this one. There are individuals, I would assume, who also have an older version who if they don't have an upgrade, if they can't afford an upgrade, they may be in a similar situation.
I follow up, Mr. Chair. When you contacted the City of Richfield, then, are you currently receiving, then, an attachment in Word for each of these crime alerts as they're sent out?
I am, no, yes. And as long as they keep coming that way, that's fine. I'm quite okay with that.
Members, we'll now have Ms. Pirius read what has been suggested as modified language based on discussion and see if that solves the problem we're talking about. Ms. Pirius?
Mr. Chair and members, bear with me, this is a little bit long, but I'll just read at the end, I'll read the new language. This would be deleting lines 1.9 to 1.19. Then on page 1, line 20, we would delete everything before A. On that same line, page 1, line 20, before A, insert if. And then delete must provide. And insert provide a crime alert to citizens within its jurisdiction. Then delete line 1.21, and then on line 1.22, delete deems appropriate and insert a comma. So the end language is going to be, if a law enforcement agency provides a crime alert to citizens within its jurisdiction, comma, the alerts and any accompanying documents must be in a form that a disabled person can access with commercially available text-based screen reader software.
Thank you, Ms. Pirius. Mr. Shattuck, did you follow that?
Yes.
Would that meet with your concerns and your needs in order to access this?
That would be fine.
Okay, are there any other questions from members or any other comments from Representative Thiessen?
I don't know if we need to deal with the data classification amendment as well, Mr. Chair. There's a separate amendment that the Department of Administration has that would just clarify that individuals that contact seeking a crime alert, that I think the default is that would be public data. This would just clarify that information is private data.
Okay, thank you. Representative Thiessen, is there someone here from the department who can testify? Mr.
Ms. Beyer-Krupinski, welcome to the committee. Please state your name and if you could speak to the amendment, which has not been moved yet, members.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Lori Beyer-Krupinski with the Department of Administration, and we have provided this amendment to Representative Thiessen. As you know, the data practice presumption is that all data would be public, and I assume that this would not be the what you'd want in this kind of a case, given that you are collecting the names and addresses and contact information for people who have a heightened concern about public safety already. So what this will do is just provide that the names and contact information for any citizen who requests notification will be private data on individuals. So that means that people within the law enforcement agency who need to see it would be able to gain access to it, but members of the general public wouldn't be able to come in and see who is signed up for crime victim alert.
Thank you. Representative Colt moves. One moment. Yes. We do need to do the oral amendment as has been proposed. First, do I have a motion for the oral amendment as stated by Ms. Perius? It has been moved by Representative Szymanski. All in favor of the bill's oral amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. The motion passes. The bill is in the form as stated by Ms. Perius. Now, Representative Coles moves the A1 amendment as subdivision 5. Yes, and because of that, we need to add a subdivision. So, Ms. Perius, would you please state the amendment for the record? Sure.
Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. Representative Thiessen?
Thank you.
Ms. Perius?
Mr. Chair, members, this amendment would be page 1, line 23, after the period, insert, any contact information provided by a citizen requesting a crime alert is classified as private data on individuals.
Okay. Representative Coles moves that amendment. All in favor of the A1 amendment as stated by Ms. Perius, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Amendment passes. The bill is in its final form as has been stated. Are there any other questions by members? If none, then whose motion was this? Was this Representative Kass' motion? Representative Kass. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on the amendments to the bill as been stated? I don't see anyone. Therefore, all in favor of Representative Kass' motion that the bill be passed and re-referred to Representative Hillstrom as amended, Representative Hillstrom's Committee on Public Safety and Oversight, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The bill passes. Thank you, Representative Thiessen. Thank you, Mr.
Chair.
Thank you.
The committee is adjourned.